Now joined by Randy Wiley, the men's golf coach at Carson Newman, golf instructor at Hoston Hills Country Club. Randy, how are you?
Well, I'm a little bruised up at the moment.
Why are you bruised up?
We just got our fall part of our season canceled.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. So how big of a blow is that for your players?
I think it's, you know, our championship season is in the spring.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as we can play and practice, you know, as a team and work out and do stuff together, I think they'll understand. But, you know, when they stopped us playing in the spring, we weren't allowed to play or practice at all. And that was a pretty big blow to them because they're like, you know, if you're on scholarship to play golf and they tell you you can't have coaching and you can't go to the golf course and play and practice, well, it, you know, doesn't feel like you're really doing half of what you're planning on doing in college. I mean, you're still taking your academics very seriously, but, you know, the other stuff that you were trying to improve at, you're not really making progress on.
Let's dive into the PGA, the first major championship in 13 months, Harding Park, San Francisco. So you got Tiger Woods opening with a 68. That's his best opening score in a major since 2012. He broke out a new putter. Randy, I thought he was sharp with the putter. He made 114 feet of putts. Didn't drive it great, but I thought that was a really solid opening round for Tiger Woods.
Absolutely. So happy to see him get off to a good start and get into contention because it really helps drive interest in a, you know, in a big tournament. And the golf course just looks really fun and beautiful and amazing. So, you know, hopefully we'll get a great TV audience through this whole event.
I got to ask you about Bryson DeChambeau as well. He's gained 50 pounds. He's gained some weight since the start of the year. He broke his driver yesterday. It was kind of interesting. He hits a drive on number 7. When he leans over to pick up his TV, the shaft snaps. He was able to get another shaft to put in the driver, and he actually drove the ball a further distance when he got the new shaft in, which some of that I think was aided because I think he had some wind behind him on some of those, but that was a bizarre situation. What are your thoughts on Bryson DeChambeau so far this year?
Kind of mixed. You know, I think it was interesting that, you know, at the beginning of the year, or not the beginning of the year, beginning of the comeback when we really saw the enormous difference in distance, when the restart, that it was mostly golf writers kind of covering things. And now that we're at a major, we got some guys that cover all kinds of sports that are covering it. In the media, there's a few different articles, but one, a big one, where someone in the media who, you know, has covered a lot of baseball kind of really questioned this and called out his trainer on, you know, this doesn't seem right. In the past in baseball, we've seen a guy go from, you know, 180 pounds to 230 pounds and go from 10 home runs to 40 home runs in 1 year. It wasn't, you know, a straight up deal. So, of course, obviously they claim that that's, you know, they're doing everything above board, but it is interesting that the media has called him out and his trainer out and finally, and I just don't know what to think. I've become a little jaded as a baseball fan over the years and, you know, watching some cycling and, you know, other sports that it seems out of the realm of reality what we're seeing with his distance off the tee.
Randy, it's great to catch up with you again. Certainly hope that you and yours are well, safe and sound.
We're working hard to try to hang in there. It's a fight right now.
Well, I certainly also appreciate and commiserate with the bad news that you got about the fall. But I do want to know, with DeChambeau, here's somebody who runs towards and fully embraces the notion of perhaps being a villainous personality on the PGA Tour. Is that something that's good for the sport, you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think every sport, if you can have some villains to go along with your heroes, that's when you're really in a good spot. It's very entertaining, and you know, people will you know, for TV ratings and stuff, they'll hate watch stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's okay that for golf that Patrick Reed is kind of a villain, and he, you know, he's kind of a villain, and for, you know, for a while Tiger was kind of a villain. I mean, you know, those things aren't necessarily bad for your sport. I mean, I don't personally like to see it, and I try to not root against people when I watch golf on TV, but I know it is actually good for television ratings, and things that are good for television ratings are usually good for a sport.
Do you think that what was your reaction to the notion that he wants to be around to the age of 130?
Yeah, I wish I could remember the exact quote, but Justin Thomas said something like, "What in the world is he talking about?" And I thought that was great. You got this country kid from Kentucky and this kid from California, and the kid from Kentucky is like, "What?" So I'll go with whatever Justin Thomas said.
If he's able to pull that off and others were to follow suit in terms of training and everything that he does, would golf need a very senior tour to give us another level in terms of those that
yeah.
continue to play?
Yeah, he could just play the regular tour till he's like 90, and then he could play the senior tour from like 90 to 120 and then retire.
Our guest Randy Wiley. Randy, back to excuse me, Tiger Woods. A lot was made out of him changing putters. He said that he's changed putters four or five times in his career. Is it really that big a deal? Because I think there are a lot of players on the pro tour that have changed putters through their career.
It's very common, very common. And it's actually more rare the guys who never did.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Crenshaw basically played his whole career without changing putters. That is super rare. You know, Jack Nicklaus, you know, when he won the Masters in 86, he was putting with a putter that looked somewhat similar to a toaster oven.
And it still popped up and worked. what are your thoughts on Brooks Koepka? Here's a guy that he won two U.S. Opens in a row, then he finished second as he tried to three-peat. Now he's trying to three-peat at the PGA. He's right there in contention. It's hard to say this, but do you think he's a little bit underrated?
It's such an odd thing. I was talking with some friends today about that he's won, I think he's won seven times on tour in four majors.
Yes.
That's extremely rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more normal for a guy to have, like, 20 wins on tour and one major.
Yeah.
You know, like a Lanny Watkins or a Corey Pavin or a Davis Love, you know, kind of thing. So he's just got a very unusual record that's hard to kind of get our arms around, you know, what it means. Clearly, he was, you know, he's number one in the world for a while, then hit a little slump, but seems to have his game back. And his kind of A game is easily among the top three in the world. You know, maybe with Rory and, I don't know, maybe Justin Thomas or DJ or whatever. But, I mean, he's definitely, you know, a top three player in the world. And, you know, the fact that he had a little slump, I think people overreacted to, because his record has always shown he's preparing for majors. He's not trying to win that week on tour.
Who
Which is
like
very different from what Tiger or Nicklaus did. I mean, when they pull into a tour event, you know, they were there to win the tournament, and he almost seems like he uses tour events as training sessions.
Yes, yeah. Who do you think wins the PGA? Do you like Koepka? Do you think Tiger's got a shot? Do you like Hu Tong Lee, who shot a 65 today to go 8-under? Who do you like in it?
Hu Tong Lee, by the way, is a very good player and very accomplished. So, I mean, I think he's going to hang tough and maybe be in the top five. I do think the best drivers of the ball have the best chance this week. I think if you drive it well there, you're really going to be in good shape. And that's kind of a combo stat between good length and good accuracy. And I think Tommy Fleetwood fits that beautifully. If I was going to pick one guy right now, I'm going to pick Fleetwood, but I would, I think Xander Schauffele and Brooks Koepka would be my next two.
Randy, I was about to ask about Tommy Fleetwood. You put together a wonderful effort today. How exciting is it, and how much fun is it when you see perhaps guys that maybe weren't in the conversation going into Thursday or Friday kind of make themselves a headline or two?
Yeah, it's super fun, and happens in almost every major. But Fleetwood's been on a trajectory where people have been expecting him to have a breakout win in a major. So he was kind of the among a group of up-and-comers that people were ready to see to do something like this, and he just it just seems like the right time for him, along with Schauffele. I mean, him and Schauffele both, I mean, they've gone from, you know, not a top player to Ryder Cup players, and they just seem like they've got the experience now under their belt that either one of them could win any major, and it would not be unexpected.
With the fact that we have a primetime event tonight for folks to watch the PGA Championship, what does it mean for the sport that it had its highest ratings in 5 years yesterday?
It's great. And, you know, of course, a lot of sports have had some high ratings, but I think the interest in golf has grown across the whole country. Resort golf has struggled, and I'll say that off the top, but public and private clubs both have been very successful throughout this whole endeavor because, you know, golf's a pretty friendly COVID sport. So that being the case, you know, the more people who are playing regularly and out there and helping us nationally break records on the amount of rounds played, you know, those people are more likely, if they've been playing, to turn it on the weekend. And then you turn it on, and the golf course just looks beautiful. I mean, it's a really attractive layout. You know, they're making birdies, and a bunch of guys that are super popular on TV. You know, Tiger will be on TV, and Dustin Johnson, and you know, I mean, it's just going to be a fantastic evening to watch golf on television.
Yeah, and it's a public course as well. I want to ask you about Brendan Todd. He fits half of your equation about driving it accurate. He's not very long off the tee. He's had some tremendous tournaments. He's faltered in the with some 54-hole leads so far, but do you think he's the guy that could win it?
He's played so well. I don't think there's any way you could, you know, not consider him as a potential guy who could win. He's played remarkably well. So, mm-hmm. You know, great for him. Great comeback story. I have yet to read the entire story, but I understand that, you know, he was – at the very lowest of the low in the world rankings just 2 years ago, and now is nearing the highest of the high, and was thinking about quitting golf and, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, the struggles I'm having with my golf game, it just gives you some hope when you're struggling a little bit to see a guy turn it around.
I want to ask you your thoughts on this. So there's actually a par 5 at Harding Park, number 10, that has a lower scoring average than number 9, a par 4. The par 5 average scoring is 4.44. The par 4 is 4.65. Does that bother you to see that, or is that irrelevant to you in terms of score in relation to par for any hole?
It's irrelevant to me. That's not that uncommon, actually, on tour. I don't know about for a whole tournament, but from a day-to-day standpoint. And with a breezy kind of golf course that is, it could just be that the one hole's playing straight downwind, the other hole's playing straight into the wind. Yep. So you might have, you know, the par fours playing like crazy hard and long, and the par fives playing super short and easy. And if the wind changes on the weekend and blows the other way, could totally change that, you know, to a different situation. So I think weather conditions and things like that play into effect there. And courses intentionally will have, and if you think about even here around town, quite often he'll have a really hard par four on a course and a relatively easy par five. Mm-hmm. Holston Hills, for instance, where I'm the director of instruction, I'm sure the seventh hole and the 12th hole, you know, in certain tournaments, the seventh hole might play to a lower scoring average than the 12th hole. The 12th is one of the hardest par fours in the state, and in the seventh is one of the easier par fives. And I always looked at it when I played there that I need to play those two holes in nine or less.
Yeah.
So whichever way I had to do it, if I played them in nine or less, then I did all right.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, thank you so much for joining us. Great to catch up with you. Appreciate you joining us during this major. We will see what happens. By the way, I'm taking Jason Day, which means he's doomed. Yeah. But we'll see how Fleetwood and Day do.
I thought you always took Jim Furyk.
Well, that was a few years ago. now that he's joined the Senior Citizen Club with me.
He won last week. You had him, right?
With on the Champions Tour, yeah.
Yeah,
you go. I'll take him on the Champions Tour. This is not the Champions Tour.
It sure isn't. It sure is not the Champions Tour.
Hey, Randy, thank you so much. Always appreciate it. Great to catch up with you. You stay safe. Sorry to hear about the news with the golf season, but hopefully we'll get a chance to visit with you again soon.
All right, very good. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
Randy Wiley, golf coach Carson Newman, men's golf team, and also director of instructing at Holston Hills Country Club.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.